All right, tonight, if you would, turn in your Bibles in the Old Testament to the book of Job. The book of Job. Job is probably the oldest manuscripts of the Scripture, and we have a copy of that. Job probably was written maybe even before Genesis was written. Of course, Genesis gives us an account of creation, but it's not necessarily the first book that the Lord gave to be inspired. And many of the biblical scholars believe that the book of Job is probably the oldest book in our Bible. It's a story of a man that is well known in the Scripture, and he's one of my favorite characters to study, and that which is surrounding his life, his friends that came that certainly were no encouragement to him at all. He tells in one of his discourses with one of his friends, he said, I find no one that has wisdom. He said, there's no one speaking to me that has wisdom. And so the book of Job is an interesting book. It gives us the story and the life of an individual that gives to us hope that we can follow the directions of the Lord. We're always talking, we hear much about the patience of Job. The New Testament, the book of James, James tells us that Job had patience, and of course by the study that we have in this book, we know he had to be very, very patient to endure the things that came upon him. So let's begin reading in chapter 1, and we'll read just the first five verses tonight in this chapter. And note some things about Job. He says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Tonight, rather than dealing with the patience of Job, I want us to look at the faith that he had, faith that gave dividends to him in the latter part of his life. As I said, we hear about the patience of Job, and certainly he was. But another quality that we have of this man of the Old Testament that we find in reading his history and his story and his book, we find that he was a man, I believe, of great faith. He's not mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 12, with God's Hall of Fame. Usually we talk about Abraham's faith and Moses' faith and all those different personalities that are listed there in Hebrews chapter 12. Job is not mentioned there other than maybe possibly in verse number 6, where the Bible says, and others had trials. And surely Job would classify as an individual that had trials and testings that came upon his life. These first five verses here tell us a whole lot about Job, and we'll be looking at those verses plus a few others in the book, but gives us some insight on how that Job could go through the struggles of his life. And seriously, none of us probably have gone through what Job went through, and he is given to us as an example. as an encouragement that we can survive the hardships of life. We can survive even the problems that come before us that seem insurmountable. And Job had concern for not only himself, but his household, his family. Job's testimony is given to us in verse number 1. And he gives us some things about him that is very important, that should be a testimony that all of us should have in our life. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." Now the rest of that verse gives us some things about his life. And he says, "And that man was perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." There are four things there concerning the man Job that gives us an insight to how that he had faith to endure the struggles, the problems, the loss of his goods, the loss of his family, the loss of everything that he had. The Bible tells us where we read that there wasn't any man any greater than Job. There wasn't any man more wealthy than Job. But just in a day's time, he lost everything that he had. But his testimony was that he was a man that was perfect. Now, it does not mean he was without sin. It does not mean that he had everything exactly right in his life. But the word perfect there means that he was an adult, spiritually speaking. He had gone to the place of understanding the will of God and trying to do what God wanted him to do, and strived to accomplish everything God had put before him. So the scripture says here that he was perfect. He was a man that was full of understanding, a man that was full of the discourse of God in his life, to be able to accomplish what God had for him. I wish and hope that all of us might be able to say that in our life that we desire to follow completely the will of God, that we would be perfect in our ways, that we would be upright, and that we would be adult and mature in the walk of God and in this world that is so foreign and so far away from the principles of God's Word. So Job's testimony that God gives us here in verse number 1, that he was perfect. Not only that, but he was upright. He had that ability about him, had the testimony about him that he was honest, that he would do those things that be pleasing not only to God, but pleasing to those around him. He was concerned with his household. The scripture, these verses talk just a moment about the household of Job. Had a great household, and he was concerned about them, and he desired for them to live right, and especially his children. The Bible says that he feared God. That's one of the greatest attributes that anybody can have in their life, that they have the fear of the Lord. Don't have to be afraid of God, but we better fear God. We better understand that he has control, just like we read this morning when Pilate asked the Lord. He said, "You're not answering me. Don't you understand I have power to crucify you or to keep you alive?" And Jesus said, "You have no power except what's given to you from above." And so we find here in this verse that Job feared the Lord. Job had an understanding of God, and Job had this fear of God and this relationship with God before he had any scriptures to read, before he had anything to go by. He just knew God, and he feared the Lord. Many people in the scripture is given that quality, that they have the fear of God in their heart and in their life. You and I tonight, if we would have the reverential fear of the Lord, there'd be things that we would not do. There'd be things that we would not say. If our country had people that had the fear of God in their life, our country would be much better off. We'd be able to accomplish much more as a nation than we are doing now, because we do not fear God. We don't have any relationship with the Lord at all, very much as a nation. But Job had a testimony that he was perfect, that he was upright, that he feared God. And then that fourth thing there in verse number 1, he hated evil. He hated the wickedness that maybe was around him. And he eschewed, or he hated, wickedness and evil. And when we fear God, and we have these other three traits, that just automatically happens. If you love the Lord, you're going to hate sin. If you love God, you're going to hate the results and the effects of sin upon the lives of people that we know, family members, loved ones that we have, we despise how that sin comes in and robs them of their joy and robs them of their happiness, robs them of their health, robs them of everything they have, just simply because of wickedness in their heart. So Job had a great testimony, and that testimony shines from chapter 1, where we read all the way through unto the last chapter of the book. And so we find that his testimony was that he loved God. His testimony that he hated evil. His testimony was that he was upright. He was honest. The dealings that he had with people, they trusted him, and he had the testimony that in his activities, he was perfect in his ways. So tonight, the faith that Job had pays off in his life. And the faith that Job exercised in his life, even in the midst of the troubles that we can read about here in chapter number 1, those things proved the ability of God to to give Job the victory in the end. Not only did Job have a testimony, but Job had a treasure. Verse number 2 tells us this, and verse number 5. It says in verse 2, there were born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. Had 10 children. The scripture tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord. And the heritage that God gave to Job was the 10 children that he had. And Job was concerned about their life. Job was concerned about how they lived, what they did. The story here gives us that they went off and had a feast, and Job began to worry about them. And he says, it's possible, it may be, that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so Job continually was concerned about the treasure that he had. That is the greatest treasure that Job had of all the things that he owned. The Bible tells us he owned a sheep and camel and oxen and cattle. Gives us a great number here that he had. Had the 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which would be 1,000 oxen that he owned. And all those things, those were great treasures that Job had. And he had much, much goods. The Bible says here that there wasn't anybody in this land and in the east that was more important or more wealthy than this man Job. And he counted on God to protect his children. But Job had a, before we build him up too much, Job had a problem also with these things, I believe, that he had. And who of us would not maybe have that same problem that Job would have? If you turn over to the 16th chapter of Job, and Job now is talking to one of his friends that have come and accused him. He's talking to Eliphaz. And sometimes I'll just take time to read the discourse that Job's friends had with him and his answer. And these three friends that came by certainly were not friends to encourage him. They accused him of doing terrible things against the Lord. But I believe Job realized the problem that he had. In verse number 12, Job makes mention. He said, I was at ease. Who wouldn't be at ease owning all the things that Job owned? Who would not be at ease physically and being the richest man of the East? Who that would bring ease to our life. And sometimes possessions do bring the wrong kind of ease. But Job admits, and I believe this maybe is the sin of Job, and he was aware of what was taking place in his life, and God had gotten his attention. Job says, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. Job said, I was comfortable in my life. I was comfortable in my ways. I was comfortable in everything that I did because there just was no problem. My children were doing well. My family was doing well. The cattle and all the herds that he had were growing steadily. His household was great, and he had all the money that he desired, what we would call money. He had all the means whereby he could do anything he wanted to do. And he says, my problem was I was at ease. I didn't really consider some things. And he says, but, talking about the Lord, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck and shake me to pieces and set me up for his mark. Job says, God got my attention. You know, the Lord has ways of doing that. The Lord knows exactly how to tug on our heartstring. The Lord knows exactly how to get a hold of us. So Job's testimony was great. Job's treasure was great. But he had a spiritual flaw that many times goes unnoticed. And after all these things come to Job, he said, my problem was I was just living in ease. Solomon calls it like living on a bed of ivory. Everything was his. Everything was good. But when you read the next few verses in the first chapter, you'll find how God got his attention. You'll find how God shook him, as he says, how he got him by the neck, how he the scripture there where we read the Lord broke him. He says in verse number 6, there was a day. And you can read that over and over again. Verse number 6, verse number 13, there was a day. Verse number 14 says, a messenger came. While he was speaking, yet another messenger comes. And the list is given here that God is getting Job's attention. That God is speaking to his heart, that God has now taken hold of Job and woken him out of his lethargic sleep, out of his ease. We call it at ease in Zion. The scripture talks about that. But these days came by that Job began to lose everything that he had. And Satan said to God, said, you've just built a hedge about him. That's why he serves you. And God says, well, you can have everything Job has except his life. Now, if Job didn't have great faith that we talk about, then Job would have never gone through these experiences. So these days come by in verse number 13. There was a day when sons of God met with the Lord and Satan was there with them and the accusation is made. And then verse 13, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So there was a day when Job lost his cattle. He lost his oxen. He lost those things that were part of his livelihood. And his servants now are all gone except this one. He said, only I am here to give you and to tell you this. And while he was speaking, there came another. And the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only escaped to tell thee. So now here's two instances, the oxen, now the sheep, and all the servants except two. While he was speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans, verse 17, made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Here the message comes. And now he's lost the camels, and again lost what else? His servants. Had many servants. Had many that was part of his household. So there's three servants now left that have told him this terrible news. And while he was speaking, can you imagine the the floodgates of emotion that came upon Job, how that the emotions overflowed his mind and his life. As one was speaking, another would come. As he was speaking, another would come. And now verse number 18 says, while he was yet speaking, came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. I only. Here's four servants that are left. Children gone, cattle gone, camels gone. Everything's gone. And what does Job do? It says he arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, which that was a symbol of the grief that he had in his heart. He shaved his head. He fell down to the ground. And notice what it says he did. And he worshiped. I doubt very seriously that I would have the faith of Job. I doubt very seriously that if those things came to me in the rapid succession that they came to Job, I don't know if I would fall down on my face and worship God or not. You don't know until you get there. We can never tell somebody how they feel if we've not been there ourselves, and I haven't been there, but Job went and he worshiped the Lord. He rent his clothes, and all these are symbols of the great grief on his heart. He rends his clothes, he tears them asunder, he shaves the hair off his head, and the Bible says here that he fell down to the ground. Well, I might do those three things, but when I fell to the ground, I might be doing something different than worshiping God. I might be saying something more than maybe I should. I might be feeling things that should not feel. But the Bible says here that Job worshiped the Lord. He had great faith. He had great struggles that came to him. He lost all that he had. He lost every physical thing that he had dear in his heart. Job lost it in that day. And the Bible says here in verse 21, he worships the Lord and he makes this statement. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the last verse of chapter 1, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job's testing came to him. He lost his family. If you look in verse number 7 of chapter number 2, you'll find, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Now Job has lost everything tangible. He's lost everything that he could touch. He's lost everything that would make him that rich man. He's lost everything that would make him a happy individual in his family. His sons, his daughters are gone. And he still worships the Lord. And so there was a day, once again, when Satan comes before in the presence of the Lord, and he presented himself. And the Lord said unto Satan, this is verse number 2, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He was going to and fro in Job's life. He was walking up and down in Job's life. And now he comes before the Lord once again. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright, a man that fears God, escheweth evil. Here again, God states to Satan the testimony of Job's life. Well, Job has proven his testimony was real. Job has proven that everything the Lord has said about him is right. And so he asked Satan, he said, have you considered that servant? I told you what kind of man he was, and I've showed you about his integrity. And he says he feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Satan says, oh, you haven't done enough yet to Job. If you are possibly going to take his life, he'll curse you. He'll turn from you. He'll reject you. And he says, skin for skin, man's going to do anything he can for his life. And we know that to be true. He says, but put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. Now the onslaught comes to this man, Job. You can lose your goods, your cattle. You can lose all your family, but you still have your life. And Job uses life to worship God. It takes great faith to do that. It takes a faith that is not seen very often even in the Scripture. And so the Lord says, you can put forth your hand, but you save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Now the smiting, now the problem's not outward. It's not his family. It's not his servants. It's not his cattle. It's not his oxen. It's not his sheep. It's none of those things that's outward. Now the onslaught comes against Job inwardly. Comes to his life individually. All of a sudden, Job falls sick at the hand of the wicked one that the Lord permitted. And he went forth and smote him from the sole of his foot unto the crown, unto his crown. And Job, the Bible says, he took a prostrator. He took what we would call a knife. And the Scripture says, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. So Job, he's lost his health. All these different things he's lost. Everything that's important to him is gone. I'll tell you what, when your health goes, important things are leaving. And Job is facing now a life, and he's really facing death. Now Job's wife comes to him, and she says, do you still have your integrity? Do you still trust the Lord? Do you still live upright? And do you still hate evil? All of these things that happened to you, Job, are you still telling me that you have integrity? We know integrity is what we really are. And she just simply comes to him and says, just curse God and die. You're going to die anyway. Why don't you just curse God and die? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job trusted the Lord. Job answered his wife. Job had an unmovable faith. Job blessed the Lord. I believe, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, the Scripture may say that he was one that had the patience, and James talks about the patience of Job. But I believe of the Old Testament Scriptures, I believe we can pull out from his life much more than just patience. I believe we can pull out a great faith that pays dividends, that give him a life worth living, even though the world around him said your life is over. Even though looking at outwardly, lost it all. Now he's a frail, sick individual. He has gone from healthy. He's gone from a man that has a great household and has great riches. No man in the East was any greater than Job. And now he's a frail individual because of the attack of Satan upon his life. And with all those things, the Bible says he did not curse God. He did not reject the things of the Lord. He did not even sin with his lips and with his thoughts and his ideas. He would not and did not sin against the Lord of heaven. Job trusted God, I believe, with all of his heart. I don't believe there's any question about the trust that Job had. I don't believe there's any question about the attitude of his heart and about his life. Job is a perfect example given to you and I that we can live for the Lord. The whole world can crash around us and the world outside can be against us, but we can still bless the Lord. We can still enjoy the blessings of God and trust. He worshiped. He told his wife, he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women's talk. How they talk. You're talking like they talk." And all those things, Job did not sin with his lips. Job realized, as we read those verses a while ago, he realized that he was in ease. He realized that he had an ease, that a protection. And Satan come and said, "God, if you'd remove the hedge about him, he'll curse you." Well, God let Satan go after him, and he did not sin with his lips. But if you go on over, and we know the rest of the story, we've read it many times. But if you go on over to the last chapter of the book of Job, you'll find that this is the dividends that pay off for Job. This is the result of a man that lost it all except his relationship with God. I believe Job was a miserable, miserable individual. I believe emotionally, physically, probably socially, all of a sudden his social standing is gone. He has nothing. He's a wreck every way you look at him except his relationship with God. And he kept that true and righteous. And the Bible tells us in chapter 42 that Job had a wonderful result or a wonderful dividend of what God had promised him. And in chapter 42, the scripture says that he, find the right verse here, verse number 6, he says, "Therefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." Job come to a place of repentance. He knew that the ransom had been paid unto him and had been given to him, that everything was well in his soul. Back in chapter 33, verse number 24, the Bible, verse number 24, says, "Then he is gracious unto him and deliver him from the going down to the pit." And Job says, "I have found a ransom. I have found a way of escape. I've been redeemed. I've been ransomed." And so he found the ransom. He repented in dust and ashes, and he had a great reward. We talk about all the good things that Job did, but yet he realized he needed to repent. He realized he needed to turn to the Lord, to repent of his ease in Zion, to repent of the attitude of his heart that everything's well. Can nobody touch me? Nothing can get a hold of me. But he repented of that. And in chapter number 42, verse number 12 says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." End result of trusting God, having great faith, the Bible says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end," or the later years of Job, "more than he did the first." How much more could you be blessed? Job had it all. Job had everything. But Job lost it all. Job did not sin. Job kept the faith. And so the scripture says he blessed him more in the end than his beginning. Now notice the dividend here. "For he had 14,000 sheep." Not just 7, now it's 14. "He has 6,000 camel, has 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asks. God gave him double of everything that he had, and he was always already the greatest man of the East. And God just elevated him that much more because he did not sin with his lips. He did not depart from the faith that had been given unto him and that he had. And then God gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7 more sons and 3 daughters. He had 7 sons. He had 3 daughters. They died. God gave him 7 more sons, 3 more daughters. Somebody, I heard a preacher say years ago, at one time he wondered why God didn't give him double of the children. He doubled everything else. He doubled the cattle, doubled everything that Job owned. And then he said, then I got to thinking, God did double his children, because your child is always your child. Whether alive or dead, they're still your child. Job started with 10 children. Those died. God gave him 10 more. So God doubled his family. What a wonderful blessing Job is as we study. And God gave him the dividends of faith. Great faith. Oh, I guess we could call it faith that pays. Faith in the end that will pay dividends far greater than what we would ever expect from just thinking. I'm so glad chapter 1 and 2 of the book of Job, I'm glad it just doesn't have 2 chapters. I'm glad it has that last chapter. 40 chapters later, God doubles everything he has. And Job had his friends come by, and they, I hope I don't have any friends like that. And you just read the discourse between those 3 friends. They were not friends. They were his accusers. And I'm not sure they wasn't sent by Satan just to give him more harm in his life. I'm not sure that wasn't a part of the attitude that Satan gave. He said, I'll send him friends, and they'll tell Job what's wrong with him. Boy, they did. But everything they said about Job was not true. And Job said, I find nobody that has any wisdom among you. And they were sitting there talking, and they were looking at Job. They saw his condition, and they really sat in unbelief, astonished at what happened to Job. And they sat there quiet for a number of days before they ever said anything. But when they started talking, their talk was terrible. So Job loved God. He served God. He lost it all, but he loved God and he served God. And God gave it all back to him plus. Thank God tonight, faith does pay. It will give us exactly what God has for us. Let's stand together.